Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. We return now to these two trees that sit in the middle of the Garden of God in a place called Eden. Last time we came into Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9 and read this: "Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And we looked at the first part of the verse, learning about the beauty of the trees and also how practical they all were. There is both beauty and usefulness. Then we proceeded into the second part of this verse, reading about and discussing the tree of life. I said this was a real tree. It is not figurative, and it was not magical. This is a real tree that God caused to grow out of the ground at the center of the garden. And the emphasis on this tree is life. With that, I said I had just a little more to pass along to you today about this tree of life, before we move along to the second specific tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, what more do I have to say? It's this: God put this tree in the midst of the garden as a potent lesson for man and woman that life comes from God. Life comes from God. God gives life and God sustains life. Life does not come from within man and woman. Listen to our friend, the theologian John Calvin, quote, "God intended, therefore, that man, as often as he tasted the fruit of that tree, should remember whence he received his life, in order that he might acknowledge that he lives not by his own power, but by the kindness of God alone. Life proceeds from God." That is from Calvin on the tree of life. And this speaks to my point. Despite what prideful people now think, all of our lives are in God's hands. Each and every day and every night, our very life comes from Him, and to Him we should give thanksgiving for the gift of life. And let me give you a specific yet simple example of how we can acknowledge our life comes from God. Are you ready? Say grace at mealtimes. Oh, now I am sounding very old-fashioned, am I? Well, so be it. This is a tradition worth repeating. Bow your head in humility before God, and just prior to diving into dinner, thank God for life. Thank God for whatever is before you that will sustain you until your next meal, and pray that He will bless others as He has blessed you. Whenever Adam plucked fruit from the tree of life and ate, he was reminded that God gave him his life. And same with Eve when she comes on the scene later in this chapter. How appropriate it will be if, when we have plucked the fruit from our trees, so to speak, we remember that life comes from God and we thank Him for it. Saying grace at mealtimes. Think about doing it. As we leave our discussion on this first tree, the tree of life, remember, life comes from God. God is the life giver. And now let's look at this second tree in the garden, more famous, called by God the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The first thing I want to say is logistical. I am not going to say too much about this tree of the knowledge of good and evil now, because we're going to come to it again in Genesis 2, verse 17. In verse 17, God gives man a specific command related to this tree. So stay with us in this series and we'll get to it. Here is what I want to highlight today. The tree of life obviously had to do with the concept or the idea of life. We have seen how that tree relates to life. Likewise, this tree has to do with the concept or the idea of knowledge. And knowledge of what? It is knowledge of good and evil. If you will allow me, I will use the word discernment rather than knowledge to show you what I mean. I think the Bible will allow me to do this. And here again, we'll read a few other passages in the Old Testament. You can be prepared to jot these down if you take notes and want to look these up on your own and read them for yourself. In each one of these passages, we are looking for the Hebrew verb to know, with specific reference to good and evil. If nothing else, highlight these in your Bible as verses that read in a very similar way to Genesis 2 verse 9 and the description of this tree. In Isaiah chapter 7, we have the prophecy of the coming Jewish Messiah, who we know is Jesus. And as part of this prophecy, we read this in Isaiah chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. I am reading now Isaiah 7, 15 and 16. He will eat curds and honey at the time he knows enough to refuse evil and choose good. For before the boy will know enough to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken. Without going into the details of these verses, notice how this boy will know enough to refuse evil and choose good. That is, he will be able to discern between good and evil and then make a choice. He can distinguish between good and evil. He can discriminate between the two. He will know enough to discern the difference between good and evil. Isaiah 7, 15 and 16. In 2 Samuel chapter 14, we are plunked down into the middle of the story of King David and his exiled son Absalom. In this chapter, Joab tells King David a story which involves a wise woman from the country. And that's all I will say about context as we come to 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 17, when the woman says this to the king, "Please let the word of my lord the king be comforting, for as the angel of God, so is my lord the king, to discern good and evil, and may the Lord your God be with you." 2 Samuel 14:17. There is the phrase of interest to us, to discern good and evil. We can read that to know good and evil, but I am glad the translators of the New American Standard Bible, from which I have read, used the word discern. So what is the point? Why have we read Isaiah 7, 15 and 16, and 2 Samuel 14, 17, alongside Genesis 2, 9? We have done so to see that the knowledge is the ability to discern between good and evil. By eating of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve will have ability to discern between good and evil. I hope that I have been clear and that you are with me on this. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is about the ability to discern between good and evil. But I have to add one more insight here. Stick with me now. If you want to listen to this again, you can always download it as a free podcast from my website, or just listen to it on the website with a click on the play button. The website is godisministry.org, and this is episode number 744. godisministry.org, episode 744. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is about the ability to discern between good and evil. That being said, the first man does already have some ability in being discerning. He has to be able to discern between good and evil, or at least between what Dr. Alders calls beneficial and harmful, in order to be a good gardener. Drop down in Genesis 2 with me to verse 15. Genesis 2 verse 15 reads, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it." As we will learn, man has work to do. And if he is going to cultivate and keep the Garden of God, then the man has to be able to discern between what is good for the garden and what is bad for the garden. So, by saying that man gains discernment between good and evil by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I am not saying that man was totally devoid of this discernment earlier in Genesis 2. But there will be a specific kind of discernment that eating of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil will bring him. And that is what we will discover later at verse 17. Well, you might say, that was complex. Or not very practical. Well, maybe. But what we are going to find out is that there is nothing more practical than this second tree I have commented on today. I would be surprised if you have not heard of this tree before. You are likely familiar with it and what happens if or when man and woman eat of it. So plant this tree in the soil of your mind, friends. It's a very important tree of all the trees in this here garden. Well, this brings us to the end of verse 9. Tomorrow we will pick up Genesis chapter 2 at verse 10. Thus far we have talked about the heavens and the earth, shrubs and plants, dust, a garden and trees. Up next, rivers, elements, and stones. So do yourself a favor and read ahead in Genesis 2, verses 10 through 14. Every one of us has time for that. It's 5 verses. Surely you can do this. It will set you up nicely for tomorrow's time together, right here in the Word of God. God provides for man a gorgeous, lush, and perfect garden. We are coming along with God and man into the garden, and we've observed quite a bit already, with still more to see and to touch and to feel. There is something very refreshing about being outside, in nature, in the creation which God has made. Reading about this garden in Genesis 2 reminds us that we live in a world full of beauty. God's handiwork is on full display, and if we will take time to stop and enjoy it, we will be healthier for it. And we will praise God for it. So join me tomorrow for more on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.